The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Three here on a Monday on Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080 AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080 AM The Fan, we appreciate you. We love you. And there's a million things to get to, but we had a wonderfully ugly football game.
Ugh.
That, look, I'm blaming you, and I'm going to go ahead and send a message to Jared Goff's agent.
That's fair.
For blaming you.
That's fair.
You gave him all the praise in the world, and why
should have had it.
Why aren't we doing all of this, and why aren't we getting this? It's all for Jared Goff. Then Jared Goff went out there and had the worst game of his career.
Yeah.
Bar none.
Yeah. 15-30, 240. He did have two touchdowns, but five interceptions. He had four on the entire season, and now he had five in one night. That was gross. It was ugly. It was absolutely atrocious quarterbacking by Jared Goff. He looked lost. He looked like he was seeing ghosts, right? He was the Sam Darnold meme. I'm seeing ghosts. But the Detroit Lions, for as bad as Jared Goff played, for as bad as they were over the course of the game, where they were losing 23-7, think about this. They were down 23-7 with, 11 minutes to go in the third quarter. Down 23-7. They won the game 26-23. Their defense came up, picked off C.J. Stroud twice in the second half, even though Jared Goff, after both of those interceptions, threw interceptions himself. In the second half, their defense just kept on giving them opportunities to stay in the game. And this Lions team, there's something very real about the resolve to be down by that much. Like, we talk about the Kansas City Chiefs so much, and we need to talk about the Chiefs and the way that they won that game, or the Broncos lost that game yesterday. But the resolve of the Lions, like, winning is a learned trait. We talk about that. We were having that conversation just last week of, look, you've got, with the Bengals, right? It was, you have to have this faith and this belief that you are going to win. The Lions have that. And they were down 23-7, and you're like, gosh, if they can just put it together, defense is playing well enough to win, right? Their offense figured it out. Thank God for Jahmyr Gibbs, because Jahmyr Gibbs was electric down the stretch. And then they have a kicker who ends up making two 50-yard field goals, a game winner. And both of them, one, I think that first one bounced off the upright. It grazed it.
I've
and then
never
he goes
seen,
on the other side.
I've never seen a ball come closer and not hit.
And especially from a guy who never kicked. He was never a place kicker in field goal in high school or college. And he's in the NFL?
Look, just saying that there's a there.
Hell yeah.
Look, this is the dumbest thing, and we can, like, it gets brought up in sports media all the time. Why isn't there a better pipeline for kickers?
Well, kickers are better than they've ever been before.
I know that. So. But I mean, just like when you talk about, like,
the mentals.
Why has there just been this influx of Aussie kickers, both kickers and punters?
Yeah, I think it's the mentals. I think it's the mental part of it. You know, like it is.
You're saying the Aussies are more mentally strong?
It's pressure. Well, they're not good place kickers. But to be a place kicker is way different than being a punter.
Sure.
You know, like the pressure being in that moment, like it is so much more difficult.
It's more golf than football
and,
in the sense of the individual moments.
Yeah, you're also beholden to. You're beholden to a holder, too. Good snap, a good hold. Everything's kind of got to be
the relationship and everything that goes in that.
Laces out Dan, right? Like, you have to have so many things go right.
Yeah, who did we have in the Monday night game a couple weeks ago who flubbed the snap?
If something goes wrong, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're screwed. But the Lions became the first team down, I think it was 15 points in the second half and 5 turnovers. Or 5 interceptions thrown by your quarterback to win a football game. Think about this. They're down 23-7 at half. You're playing a first-place team on the road. You lose the time of possession. Your quarterback throws 5 picks. You win the game.
And
how does that happen?
Well, Stroud throws 2 bad picks.
But Goff on both of them gave him right back.
I know.
He gave him right back.
So you cancel out 2 of them. Which is still insane to think you've got 3 more to work with. And Stroud had a couple throws in that game where you just went, holy crap.
Oh, the interception he threw in the end zone where his receiver was wide open. Yeah. And he throws a 3 ball, just a nice high arcer, and the safety's like, yep, thank you. Unbelievable. Like the head-scratching moments in that one. That's that, like, indicative of C.J. Stroud as a quarterback and what he's going to be in the league. But boy, there were some dumb plays in that game.
The thing that Goff did do is that he somehow, some way, avoided the sacks.
Yep.
Even though he threw all of the picks, the passes that he did complete ended up being huge. And the Lions absolutely mauled the Texans' running game.
Penei Sewell is really good. And the Texans could not get anything going.
Nothing
on the offensive
going.
Side. Down 23-7. And down late in the game, the Lions were still running the football.
Yeah.
They ran the ball really effectively.
They stood to their identity because they weren't down that much.
And the Texans just couldn't do it. And that gave Detroit the life that they needed because incompletion is going to stop the clock. You're going to have more times and more opportunities when you're averaging 2 yards a carry. And Detroit has that DNA, man. They are a damn fun team to watch. Watching Dan Campbell bro out on the sideline, watching Jared Goff like literally thank his head coach for that team bailing him out. Detroit is, I love this story. I think it's my favorite storyline in the NFL right now, is the Detroit Lions being not just good but dominant this year because of how much crap they went through for so long. They got Brad Holmes in as GM. They got Dan Campbell as their head coach. They work with great synergy, and they have turned that culture around that how many iterations of front offices and head coaches have been through there, where they had talent too. I mean, they had the best quarterback receiver combo in the National Football League with Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson for years. Still couldn't figure it out. They have figured it out top to bottom. They're drafting well. They're filling their roster out. They're developing talent. And it is so fun to watch them play because they have an identity. They never waver from it. And they just continue to pluck away. I love the Lions. I love them.
They are just an absolute demon machine.
Yep.
And the thing about them is they're destructive and wantonly as they run through teams physically. They're not even the most egregious version of this because it's very clear at this point the Kansas City Chiefs have sacrificed not only some, but all of the goodwill and animals and everything else that is humanly possible in order to be where they are right now. Because there is no way you can tell me that they aren't doing something otherworldly from another dimensional plane. Because I can't. So we'll get to that next. The Chiefs, what the hell are they doing to win these games? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family, meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked about the Indianapolis Colts and how they have come up on the wrong side of so many games. The same way with the Cincinnati Bengals leading into Thursday night's game. The flip side of that, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs have found themselves on the right side of every game now at 9-0. And it does not make any sense as you look through each and every week. Patrick Mahomes hasn't been good.
No, and that's the terrifying part about it, is that we are sitting there going, all right, at some point, he's going to figure it out. He's going to figure it out, and all the great ones do, and they still have DeAndre Hopkins, who still's got some miles left on those tires. They are going to figure it out, and they will win games decisively, but the incredible part is that the F around and find out, they're not finding out about any of it.
They've won 9 games. 7 of them have been by one score.
Yep.
There are 2 more than one score wins. Against the Saints, 26-13, and against the 49ers, missing everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That was 28-18. Otherwise, Ravens, 27-20. Bengals by one, 26-25. 22-17 at the Falcons. 17-10 at the Chargers. Then you have the Saints and 49ers, 27-20 at the Raiders. 30-24 versus the Bucs, 16-14, including a late blocked field goal against the Broncos.
And it doesn't matter. Like, Mahomes is getting touched up in the pocket. He was sacked 4 times mm-hmm. yesterday by Denver. Denver did everything possible to win that game. And they, by every measure, whether it was the final drive, Bo Nix makes a big throw on a third down to milk more time off the clock so you don't get Patrick Mahomes with a chance to get back on the field, and they call a timeout with 2 seconds to go, and it's like they are in range. Nix was able to center the ball, so they had the perfect angle for it. And the Kansas City Chiefs block a field goal to win the game, and it was one of like 4 guys could have blocked it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the guy who's catching the most heat for it is a local guy. Alex Forsyth mm-hmm. was the tackle on the outside who naturally plays center, and he got tea-kettled on that play. Mm-hmm. And they went in and blocked. McAfee went in on Forsyth today saying he should never be on a field goal unit ever again. And it...
Kickers, man, they stick together.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, he's got to sit down in that one. He's up too high, and they run a triple team, and that's why they get underneath him, and he
didn't
step,
didn't turn out. Wasn't he was on his heels? Like it was all bad, all bad, all bad. But you think of Kansas City just finding a way at the very end in winning games. I even asked this question yesterday on Twitter because I just don't even know how to describe it. I'm at a loss of words for this. So what word describes the Chiefs? Honestly.
Inevitable.
Inevitable.
You took that right out of my mouth.
I mean,
was about to say it. Yeah.
It's like, that's the thing. It's like, look, Baker Mayfield said it without saying a word on that coin flip. He throws his head back.
Yep. Yeah. We got,
because he knew.
We got inevitable as one of them. Poop was one. Cheaters, don't know that one. Undefeated, amazing. Somebody said Miami Hurricanes, which is you mess around too often, it's gonna bite you, but it hasn't yet.
They've messed around 6 times this season.
And here's the thing, Andy Reid isn't gonna be the one that screws it up.
No, that's the thing is that. With Reed, you have a coach yeah. who I think every as much as I'm so glad that he gets his flowers now. This man was vilified in Philadelphia for getting it wrong so many times.
Yeah, but I don't. But this is like what they do. It's not luck though, because
they generate their own.
If it happens enough, it's not luck.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said maybe Taylor Swift actually is a witch, and maybe maybe it is some dark magic that we're dealing with here. I don't know. I'm not going to open myself up to the Swifties. I'm not. I will rule it out because I don't want the wrath of the Swifties to come down upon me. But you sit there and you look at that's not soft. You've never been berated by Swifties before.
I have.
Obviously, sir.
I have. I'm a 27-year-old single dude.
Yeah, actually, you lived that life. But at some point, it's not luck, and it's just they find a way. They find a way, whether we want to call it luck or not. They're the two-time defending Super Bowl champs. They have done it week in and week out, and it's been something different every time. This may have been the most incredible of any of them, though, to where the opposition did everything that if you want to check every single box of how you beat the Kansas City Chiefs, they checked all of those boxes, the Denver Broncos. Don't give Patrick Mahomes enough time. You know, pick up, you got to be efficient on third down. They were over 50% on third down.
Touch him up as often as you can.
And they absolutely did that. They were efficient through and through, and they outrushed Kansas City.
Take care of the ball. Like, all of the things that you're supposed to do. And, like, it's not like I mean, the Chiefs ran for 57 yards.
Yeah.
Chiefs like, ran for 57
Denver
yards.
Denver did everything to win that game. And, nope, just didn't happen. That was, and to me, when you do it in so many different ways, that's not luck. It's not luck. It's just, you find that way to win, and winners may just be the best way to describe them, is that they're just winners. This week they have to go to Buffalo, though. You can't F around against Buffalo and do it, right? But we said that against about the Ravens. We said that against the Bengals week two. We said that about the 49ers. They just absolutely beat the hell out of them. Mm-hmm. But this is a really damn good team in Buffalo that they have to go on the road to. Like, the game they're probably going to lose is the Raiders at home. Like, that would probably be the one where you're like what the hell?
I've tried to tell everybody. Every time those two teams get together, throw all of the other stuff out the window. It doesn't make any sense.
Same thing with Denver, though, too. Yeah. Like, Denver,
the division stuff in the AFC West, man, if you go through, like, all of the annals of history and look at it, it's just weird. I don't understand it. I can't wrap my head around why it is what it is. But the hatred between those teams and those divisions, it just seeps into those games, and you just kind of throw everything out.
Buffalo's favored.
I think it also, at home.
At home, yeah.
I think it's three.
And it's going to be a close game, so it's a pick 'em game
in
Vegas. But I think this says a lot about Denver, too, though. They got their teeth kicked in by the Ravens last time they were on the field.
They came back out.
They came back out. They went toe-to-toe.
Bo Nix has been playing a lot better.
They are void of weapons on the offensive side. Mm-hmm. They have struggles on the offensive line still. But Bo Nix looks more comfortable. He's starting to look like that clone of Sean Payton that he wants, of game management and being risk-averse, making enough plays at opportune times.
Did you see the bad snap? So he had his first fumble in 37 games because of a mishandled snap.
Mm.
But he picks it. It wasn't egregious or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of showed how smart Bo is in the sense of it was going to be a screenplay. And the timing just gets jacked up because he bobbles it and picks it up off the ground. And free rusher comes because they're running the screen right there. And he, instead of throwing it or trying to make something happen, he just grounds it.
Mm-hmm.
And because he threw it forward just enough, but at the ground of the receiver, no harm, no foul.
Yep.
You don't take the negative on the sack. You don't get the intentional grounding. You don't fall on the ball. Like, it was a very smart play in the sense of live to fight another day.
Yeah. That's what he has to be in that offense.
Yes. And I think that forget all the throws that he made.
Yeah.
That to me was kind of emblematic of smart football. And I was like, because it's a play that's made instantaneously. He doesn't think about it. It's like, on to the next. And I think so much of that comes from his last 2 years at Oregon. Of just like, hey, look, This one's a loss. We don't need to double down on stupid.
Well, taking a lot of those plays at Auburn, definitely learning experiences.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The broadcast said he hadn't fumbled in 37 consecutive games.
And here's the crazy part about them. That Denver team right now, we're talking about where are the 4-6 Indianapolis Colts and the 4-6 Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
They are 8th and 9th. They're chasing the heels of the Denver Broncos.
At 5-5.
At five and five.
That squishy middle of the AFC, man, like there's
winnable games for Denver
six
coming
teams,
up.
Teams, really, that yep. are like in the mix for 3-4 spots.
I don't think Denver's a playoff team, but
no.
This was a big stride forward, and I think that all of the rookie quarterbacks have looked good. Caleb Williams is he's on the struggle bus right now.
You want to talk about that next?
Sure.
All right, let's go ahead and do that because as much as everybody's talking about Chauncey Billups and whether or not he should continue being coached at the Trailblazers this morning, I thought the Bears were going to make a change coming into this morning after the performance they had this week. And we'll get to that and more. But first, here's Big Will Betts of the Sports Center update.
Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Chicago Bears are in trouble, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Goodness gracious. Falling 19-3 to Dusty's New England Patriots.
Juggernaut of a team.
Yikes, dog. I believe the number now is 21 consecutive drives without a touchdown for the Chicago Bears, where it appears the Hail Mary against the Washington Commanders might have actually broken them. Well, that's not true. It's fun to think about. Caleb Williams has looked like a shell of himself over the last couple of weeks, and I don't think it's teams getting film on him. He just does not look like himself, and I'm not worried about him for the long term, but I'm to be totally honest, I'm surprised that neither Shane Waldron nor Matt Eberflus were fired coming into today.
I am very surprised on that.
Like, look, one of them, right?
Again, we go back to the lame duck coach, no offensive coordinator worth his salt was going to be like, I want in on that.
Yeah.
And the Bears botched getting the number one overall pick and getting a quarterback of the future. By bringing Matt Eberflus back, it was just like, why? Their defense played well at the end of the season, that's why.
How many times have we seen organizationally a team draft a top-level quarterback and not change coaches? Genuinely, like, when has that not really been the case? Like, if you're like, and I'm not even saying that you had to change, but you didn't, like, you weren't going to change the coach in the sense of like, no, we believe in this coach.
Usually you just start from scratch because if you get that quarterback, it's because you sucked the year before. But here's the thing with the Bears. They weren't the team that was going to have the number one overall pick. It's the Carolina Panthers, right? Mm-hmm. They played well enough at the end of the year to save Matt Eberflus's job, which is biting them in the ass right now. But Ben Johnson will be there next year, maybe. And if that's what your hope is, I mean, that's just not good enough. Here's the thing that's the most disappointing, though, is that organizationally, they went out and they reformed the entire roster to help the transition for Caleb Williams. They went and got him weapons.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted a second weapon in the top 10. They went out and they got Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you already had DJ Moore there and Cole Kmet. Yeah, that is the head-scratching part of all of this,
mm-hmm.
is he has the most weapons of any of the rookie quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
and right now is playing the worst.
Yeah.
That's coaching. That's coaching.
Yeah.
And it is also, Jayden Daniels is really damn good. Oof. Drake May is really damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Nix is playing really damn mm-hmm. well. But none of those guys have the talent around them that Caleb Williams does.
No.
And it's not, now they were down offensive linemen yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be noted. But he got sacked 7 times.
Caleb, 9.
9? 9?
Yeah, no, there was more.
9 times.
No, he was running for his life. And in the times that he did.
But that is also your quarterback. You've got to have awareness to get out of there.
Well, and that's.
Get the ball out of there.
Both those things. Just kind of watching the NFL replays today, Dan Orlovsky was showing how often the Bears only put 2 out.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Caleb sitting in the pocket, going back and forth between the 2 targets that he's got in a route because they're trying to offer protection because they can't keep him upright because their offensive line's beat up. And then the flip side of it, there's times.
See, but then if you're Caleb Williams, you got to get rid of the damn ball. And like, mm-hmm. you can't get sacked nine times.
No, I 100% agree. I 100% agree. And the other part about this is they very clearly told him to stop running.
Yeah.
This is a guy who extends plays, keeps things going with his legs, is very improvisational, and he's basically got himself stapled to the pocket now. He doesn't look like himself. And it's they're not moving him out of the pocket to get him comfortable. They're not putting him in places to succeed at all. And this is Jackson Smith and Jigba being a fortune teller.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Talking about Shane Waldron. Because everything that they're doing right now, Caleb Williams, I don't care if you think I'm the USC honk or whatever. Caleb Williams was one of the most accurate quarterbacks in college football. All of a sudden, he's not.
That has, but he also had some throws in college where you're like, that ain't going to work in the NFL.
Sure.
And they're not working in the NFL
now. But here's the flip side of this is, and we talked about this the last year coming before the draft.
Their scheme is doo-doo.
Doo-doo. Though.
It's bad.
There was a the tracking data company for the NFL. It's the Next Gen Stats. I think it's AWS. They also use on the college side where they showed ball placement between Caleb Williams and CJ Stroud in college, and they basically show groupings, much like if you go to a target range when you have groupings when you fire. And Caleb Williams was infinitely better than CJ Stroud. Like it was just dot after dot after dot. Now you had the Super Troopers. Don't worry about that little guy over there where you're talking about like, can't do that. And like that was part of what he was. But it was also, it was the off platform. It was the different arm slots, different arm angles, like all of the things. And now you could say that it's nice to have all that stuff, but if you can't do it from the pocket, you can't be a quarterback in the NFL. And I wholeheartedly agree. But everything about Caleb Williams right now doesn't look like him.
And they're not letting him grow while still playing to his strengths and what they are right now. That's the biggest issue that's going on with the Chicago Bears. And I also think it was malfeasance by the Bears to not try to pressure Drake May more.
Mm-hmm.
Drake May was sacked one time. And that is...
It's not like the Bears are short on guys who can
pressure. By Pro Football Focus, the New England Patriots are the worst pass blocking and run blocking offensive line in the National Football League.
One sack, zero tackles for loss, and they only touched him up a couple times, seven times.
But this is where Drake May is doing what Caleb Williams is not. If it's not there, I'm getting the damn ball out, and I'm not going to get hit because I know my offensive line
sucks. Or taking off and running.
Yeah. Yeah.
Caleb Williams ran the ball twice, like actively ran the ball twice.
Yeah. Yesterday. And that's some of that. Is just, he's going to get to a point where he's like, F these guys, they're not going to be here next year anyway. At this point in the year, this is where I would be.
Yeah.
And right now, Jimmy Shapiro, our friend who sends us the betting lines and all this stuff, next head coach to get fired.
Hold on. Is it Eberflus?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Who's
Peterson.
Number one?
Doug Peterson.
Okay.
Minus 125.
Minus money?
People thought he wasn't going to come back from Europe.
Doug Peterson is minus 125. Matt Eberflus plus 150, 3-2 odds.
Okay. I was going to say plus 200. So those numbers tell me, number one, Peterson's done after this week.
Yeah, like, they got a line on that bad boy there.
He's,
you know?
He's done after this week. Who do the Bears have next week?
Did they go through their
Green Bay?
NFC North gauntlet?
Yeah,
they have
Packers,
all their
Vikings,
NFC
Lions.
Left.
Well, what they're doing is they're probably sitting there in the front office saying, "All right, where do we get the fired coach bump?" Because I'll be damned if Darren Rizzi is the new king.
He's got the Riz,
dude. The New Orleans Saints. Rizzler. Oh, the Jags have got the Lions this week. They're gonna fire him this week, so that makes it easy. Do you hear this Darren Rizzi guy? Darren Rizzi was awesome. His post-game press conference was nothing but bangers.
Guys, so this is how my day started. I get down here to the stadium, get down here to Superdome. I go in the head coach's locker room, which, you know, I've never used before, right? So here I am early in the morning. I go to the bathroom, and this is how my day started. I clog the toilet. And I'm like, this is going to be a crappy day, pun intended. And so we listen. I'm like, okay, this is not really a great start to the day. Here we go. And so, I'm not really feeling like a head coach of an NFL team right now.
They won 2017. Clogging the toilet. Maybe that's your new ritual,
yeah.
Rizzy.
Yeah.
He brought the Riz. And then he got hurt after the game. Do you see the celebration?
No.
Oh, it was fantastic.
His voice is cooked, so he was very clearly.
This guy, he's a party animal.
He's very red.
I love this guy.
He loves Jocko.
There's 100% he was like a wrestler at some point, too.
Yeah.
He doesn't have cauliflower ear, but his ears are kind of bent down.
The
like,
remnants of.
He's been through the ringer before. This guy loves punishment, loves pain. No, he was seen celebrating on the field. And he was, like, just dragging an entire side of his body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people that are like, did he, like, tear his ACL out there? Nope. He's just all about football.
I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. I yelled at Peyton Turner with 30 seconds left because he's celebrating before the game's over. So I screamed at him. And so he's spraying water, and I ripped his ass, quite frankly. So when the game was over, he wanted to get me back. So he came up to me, and I wasn't looking. He jacked me in the back, and I got a history of stingers. So my left arm went completely numb. Literally went completely numb. So I'm sure the video has me like this. I'm like, I'm looking at my thanks slap, Peyton. So I'm fine. I got a little C5, C6 going for years from the old, sound like the old guy, but I am. That's what happened. He gave me a stinger, for lack of a better phrase. I couldn't feel my arm, so my balance was screwed up. I'm fine. All the other stingers I got in my life, at least I saw them coming. I was prepared for them. This one, I'm going to get hurt. Holy cow.
Gave him the kidney punch. Dude, give him the little sucker in the back.
He rules. But you get that, fired coach bump.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you get the Andy Dalton bump for the Carolina Panthers, which Bryce Young won a football game.
Well, yeah. Two. He's won back-to-back.
Back-to-back games, yeah. Against two very bad teams, but
two,
which he was incapable of doing.
He has more wins in Germany than any other quarterback this season.
Yeah.
Him and Tom Brady, only quarterbacks to win in Germany.
He's only got one less win in Germany than the United States of America, because back-to-back World War champs, Germany was part of both those.
Boom.
People
don't forget, actually. I think they remember very well that Germany was a part of, especially the second one.
Yeah, well, the second one we all remember. The first one, we kind of let slide. It's like, there's a reason why we came down so hard on them after number two. It's like, fool us once.
No. Yeah.
Shame on you. Fool us twice. Shame on us. All right? We're not doing this again. But you get the bump. You get the bump. And I feel like Brian Daboll. Doug Peterson is number one. Next coach get fired. Eberflus is two. Daboll is three. Mike McCarthy is four. And Mike McCarthy, he's got to be in it now that Michael Parsons even said this.
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants. But guys, I kind of feel bad for his guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that,
dang,
I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
You know what the best part is? He's saying that was taken out of context. What part of that is taken out of context? Micah?
It was basically bleep that guy. We don't care about him.
Yeah, he's like, it's the, he can go wherever and do whatever he wants after he's done. Well, how about he's not the guy I want to hold the trophy up for. Tell that to the Chiefs for Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Tell that to the Chargers right now with Jim Harbaugh and what they're doing, right?
Hell, the Commanders with Quinn.
Every single coach of note. Tell that to the Lions and Dan Campbell.
Yeah. He can go coach anywhere.
Every coach that has belief, they're like, no, I want to hold the trophy up for him and all of those other guys too. But it's a collective. It's everybody here. Not, he can go do whatever he wants. It's Zach Martin who I want to hold the trophy up for. No.
I think the Cowboys
that's
may
not
have
taken
liked,
out of context, buddy.
They may have liked it better when Micah wasn't healthy, so he wouldn't have media.
Mm. He was wrecking crew yesterday, though.
He was.
Looked really damn good.
What was the final score of that game?
It was a lot, too. Was it 31-6?
Yeah.
Was that what
it was? No, they got 34, because I saw him kick a field goal.
Oh, all right.
It was the Sun, man.
34-6, yeah. Oh, Jerry Jones getting all upset?
Yeah, we didn't have time to talk about that.
Did you guys see did you hear what happened in McCarthy's press conference today, though?
Please tell me the Sun.
He smashed a watermelon again?
No.
Dang it.
No, during his press conference, they had to bring a shade up because there was sun coming through the media room and it was in his eyes. So they put a shade up to protect his face for the TV cameras.
If only they had that for actual games. In the end zone.
Jerry Jones, what, do we want to tear the whole building down? They're like, well, we just asked, like, maybe curtains or something. Like,
we would turn it?
I don't know. Maybe you should call the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, the Glass Palace. They'll put the curtains up during a day game. So you don't have these problems.
It's all very dumb. What's not very dumb is where we were going to wrap up today's show.
Yep.
The Portland Trailblazers lost a legend, Brian Wheels Wheeler. We will take a few moments to recognize him. Come up next to close today's show.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
As we wrap up today's show, again, the Portland Trailblazers lose one of their own in Brian Wheeler. Wheels, 21 Wheels. Years with the organization. Had some of the most iconic calls. I didn't hear it live. I heard it replayed, and I'll always remember this. Getting in the car with my dad after Brandon Roy comes back a week removed from surgery for Game 4 of the Dallas Mavericks and has his swan song for the Trailblazers.
Roy has it now against Marion. An All-NBA defender. Brandon gets past him. Jumper in the lane. Banks it in! Time out, Dallas! My eyes don't deceive, so I have to believe!
That one?
Yeah.
That one right there?
Hell yeah. I remember being so... Knowing that they were going to lose that series. Didn't matter. It was so much bigger than that. We knew what Brandon... That it was going to likely be the end for him.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling in that arena that night was insane. It was absolutely insane. And it's, you know, it's an unfortunate place to be in that moment. And he captured it so well, like he did for 21 years.
No doubt.
Being in the car and hearing Wheels post game, being out driving around, hearing him call a game on the road. Everybody has their memories. If you're our age, that's something you did.
Yep.
And unfortunately, he's gone now. And just want to say, rest in peace, Wheels. We're going to miss you, big guy. And, you know, if you've got stories, if you got any of those, send them to us at Danny and Dusty, at my Twitter, at Dusty's Twitter. And, you know, I'll share as many as I can and as I've done all weekend.
Yeah, and Wheels was going through a lot at the end. His health had declined very rapidly since being replaced as the voice of the Portland Trailblazers. And he was a guy that was always gracious and very kind-spirited and a really kind soul. And that was something that I'll never forget. Like, he always went out of his way to make sure that he knew that he appreciated the work that people did and the way that the industry was. You didn't get that a lot. And Wheels was a great guy. He was human. Everybody has their flaws. But Wheels is going to be remembered as, you know, the voice of a generation here in Portland. And he did have to follow the footsteps of Bill Shonley, too, which those are huge shoes to fill. And he did it for a really long time here. So RIP Wheels, man. Very sad. Very sad. But he did have one of the more iconic calls in Trailblazers history.
He had one of the most iconic voices in radio.
That is, yeah, he did. That's the way that we're going to leave you today. Up next, though, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac Souk right here on The Fan.
Bye.
Now Roy into the front court to Blake. Back to Roy. Back to Blake to Roy. Three-pointer for the lead. Yeah! They're dancing in the aisles here at the Rose Garden. It's absolute bedlam. And Brandon Roy now with 50 points.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.